But he replied to teacher, this won't do. I need to handle this first before my mind can settle down to reciting sutras and chanting Amitabha. Teacher replied, then if you think this way, there is no hope for you in this lifetime. He asked why. Teacher replied, you are handling this all wrong. The method you have thought of and tried to use is within the control of your karma. But you do not have the support, the strength from the help of the Triple Jewels. We need to know how to use the strength from the Triple Jewels and to give up just trying to rely on our own. We need to use our pure mind in seeking help from the Triple Jewels. Then we will attain inconceivable help from them. This is very important. As I said previously, we need to use the variable, not the constant. The constant is destined. It is fixed. We can create the variable to create our destiny. In creating our destiny, we seek from within our mind. This mind is the true mind, not the false one. When our mind is constantly filled with wandering thoughts, we are using our false mind. It exists because of the constants, not the variables. If we use our true mind, then the constants will change. We can see this very clearly in the sutras and in the Alphonse Four Lessons. How do we seek help from Buddhas and Bodhisattvas? We do not make deals with them, offering terms and conditions. We do not ask them to help make us wealthy or to make millions of dollars, saying that in return we will split the money with them, that we will share it 50-50, 500,000 for them, 500,000 for us. This is obviously not right. How can we imagine they would agree to this? It is wrong for us to think of exploiting Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, to want to employ the strength from the Triple Jewels, to offer deals, to make wishes, and attach conditions to them. There are no deals to make, no terms to negotiate. The most basic principle and important goal is for us to uncover our purity of mind. This is what Buddhism teaches us to do. Why bother to seek the self nature on the outside when it is already perfect and complete within us? And is already able to give rise to infinite phenomena. This principle explains that everything already exists. If we seek within, there is nothing that we cannot attain. When there is a sincere request, a response will follow. Because originally the self nature is complete, It is able to give rise to infinite phenomena. The Triple Jewels does nothing more than act as a catalytic condition. We seek and attain something our original self nature already had. If we did not already have it in our self nature, even the Triple Jewels would not be able to help us. In Buddhism, whatever is sought will be attained. If we totally believe without the slightest doubt that whatever is sought will be attained, even the vow to become a Buddha, then certainly everything else is attainable. As ordinary people, we do not truly know this. We use our worldly intelligence in learning and practicing Buddhism. In so doing, we are not seeking and attaining fame, wealth, and prestige, but in actuality, we are committing offenses without even being aware of it. Whatever is attained is something that we were destined to have. It would not be worthwhile to seek it. In the future, we will suffer the consequences for the offenses we have committed. Buddhism talks of the 10 Dharma realms. Within each of the 10 realms, there exists another 10 Dharma realms. Thus it is called hundreds and thousands of realms. Currently, we exist in the human realm. Within this realm, there exists another 10 realms. This moment, if we are single-mindedly mindful of Buddha Amitabha and seek birth into the Pure Land, then for this moment, we are in the Buddha realm. Being mindful of a Buddha is the cause. Becoming a Buddha is the effect. In this moment, if we are cultivating the cause of becoming a Buddha, then we are in the Buddha realm. In this moment, if we are mindful of the Bodhisattva realm and of contemplating the 6 paramitas, then we are in the Bodhisattva realm. Similarly, if we are mindful of virtue, morality, and humanity, then we are in the human realm. However, if we are greedy, constantly scheming and plotting to make money, to possess the materialistic enjoyments of this world, then we are in the hungry ghost realm. If we are confused and deluded in our thinking, drifting along through our life, then we are in the animal realm. And if we are displeased and angry with everything and everyone, then we are in the hell realm. Although we are currently in the form of a human, we can still be in any of the other 9 forms. Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and the beings and spirits of heaven and earth can see us very clearly as we are, whether we are a Buddha, a Bodhisattva, or another form of being. Therefore, There are 10 Dharma realms within each Dharma realm. Once we understand this principle, once we know the true reality, we will know how to choose. This ability ultimately rests in our own hands. From the text, there is nothing else in the world which calls for more shame and remorse than behavior such as this. Mencius once said, "Shame is the greatest and most important word in a person's lifetime." Why? Because one who knows shame will put forth his or her best efforts into correcting faults and will eventually attain sagehood or become a virtuous person. One who cannot comprehend the word shame will be unrestrained and immoral and will be just like an animal. These are really key words to correcting our faults. End quote. It is shameful for us to be still mired in the six realms of reincarnation, while others have already become Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Nothing calls for greater shame than this. The word shame has a very close connection with humans. Why? Because by being ashamed, we can become a sage, a virtuous person. By being unashamed, we will doubtlessly fall into the three bad realms. So we can see how close a connection this word shame has with our very future. By knowing shame, we will tirelessly strive to eliminate it. Thus, we can replace it with the inspired enthusiasm to eventually become a sage or a virtuous person. By not knowing shame, we will become unrestrained and immoral, behaving just like an animal. By not knowing shame, we will be dishonorable and false, engaging in immoral activities. In Buddhism, only those without shame still have greed, anger, ignorance, and arrogance. But by knowing shame, we will no longer have these four poisons. The mind of greed will lead us into the hungry ghost realm. The mind of anger and hatred will lead us into the hell realms. The mind of ignorance will lead us into the animal realms. What is there for us to be proud of? Compared with Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, we are unimaginably far behind. By understanding this, these afflictions will naturally diminish, will naturally disappear. To be perfectly blunt, it is shameful to fall behind others in performing virtuous deeds and accumulating good results. From the text, The second way to know, to reform, is to know fear. The celestial beings and earthly spirits all hover over our heads in observation. It is impossible for us to deceive them. End quote. Constantly having this fearful mind will enable us to discipline ourselves so that we will no longer dare to commit wrongdoings. It will help us to be constantly apprehensive. Above us, there are celestial beings who have supernatural abilities of clairvoyance. They are able to see very clearly our every movement. Below us, there are earthly spirits who also have the five supernatural abilities of clairvoyance, clairaudience, the ability to know their past lifetimes, physical abilities, and knowing the minds of others. Although their abilities cannot compare with those of celestial beings, their perceptions are much keener than ours. For example, they have greater abilities in sight and hearing. However, we exceed them in wisdom. It might be difficult for us to believe that even having these abilities, they are not more clever and wise than we are. Presently, scientists have proven that numerous animals possess unique sense organs. For example, a dog's sense of smell is much keener than that of humans. Thus, they can detect scents that we are unable to. Dogs also have keener hearing than we do. But they are not as intelligent as we are. Other animals also surpass us in various abilities. It should not be at all surprising that ghosts and spirits surpass us as well. Thus, it can be believed that spirits and ghosts possess these five supernatural abilities. Why then do they still need to suffer? They are not as wise as we, and they do not possess as much good fortune as we. We need to constantly remember that above and below, there are spirits and ghosts who are perfectly aware of our every thought, word, and deed. From the text, even when my wrongdoings are done in a concealed place, the beings and spirits of heaven and earth are just like a mirror, clearly reflecting all my faults. If my offense is serious, then all kinds of adversities will befall me. If my fault is minor, it will still deduct from my current good fortune. How can I not feel fear? End quote. Even if we are committing minor faults in the most concealed place where nobody is around to witness them, the celestial beings and heavenly spirits who are clairvoyant can clearly see everything. This is appalling. But the capabilities of these beings are still not considered great, for their abilities are nothing compared to those of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Fortunately for us, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have great compassion and loving kindness. Since they have purity of mind, when they witness our wrongdoings, they will not cause us trouble, for they do not mind our offenses. However, Dharma protectors are ordinary beings who will cause trouble for those who have committed wrongdoings. Also, spirits and ghosts are ordinary beings. They get angry when they see us committing wrongdoings and will sometimes cause trouble for us. They are even more prone to punish us for our severe wrongdoings. Thus, adversities and calamities will befall us. Lighter offenses will still reduce our present good fortune. If we truly understand this truth, how can we not be afraid? Therefore, there are several passages in the Infinite Life Sutra that call for respect and fear. There are an infinite number of beings in the Western Pure Land. Each has the heavenly eye, is clairvoyant, can see everything without any obstruction. Each has the heavenly ear, is clairaudient, can hear everything throughout the universe in the past, present, and future. They see what we cannot see. They hear what we cannot hear. We cannot hide anything from the virtuous people in the Western Pure Land. If we cannot deceive them, how can we even think of deceiving Buddha Amitabha, great strength Bodhisattva, great compassion Bodhisattva? It is impossible. Once we understand this, when we deeply realize that we need to seek birth into the Pure Land, it is not important what form of merit dedication, what form it takes. All the beings there know our aspirations. There is no need for us to verbally say we seek birth into the Pure Land. They already know this. They instantly knew it the moment we first gave rise to the thought. The truth is that we simply need to honestly chant the Buddha's name. There is no need to say any unnecessary words. We just need to seek one mind undisturbed, to seek the highest level of birth into the Pure Land. In so doing, we will be foremost in wisdom, merits, and virtues. From the text. And there is more. Even when we are alone in our room, the beings and spirits watch over us very carefully and record everything. Even if we try to conceal or cover up our improper acts with clever speech, these celestial beings and earthly spirits can see through to our hearts as clearly as seeing into our lungs or liver. Ultimately, we cannot deceive ourselves. If others were to see our behavior, we would find ourselves discredited. Therefore, how can we not be constantly cautious of our every action and fearful of the consequences they might evoke? End quote. Presently, we read about when we are outside interacting with others. Here, Mr. Liao Fan wrote of when we are alone in our room. When we are alone, we can become careless, behaving as we wish, not realizing the importance in cultivating alertness, even when alone. When we are with others, we tend to restrain ourselves. When we are alone, we tend to relax. There is an account that happened almost 2,000 years ago that illustrates this point. Mr. Kong Chung-jung and a group of classmates were reflecting on their faults. As each reflected, they found they each had many shortcomings. Only Mr. Jung could not think of any. Finally, someone said, "Think again." He replied, "I am thinking." He thought for a long time. Then he remembered. One time, when he went to the restroom, he had forgotten to put on his hat. This was his one shortcoming. In the past, in China, it was a custom for a man to always leave his hat on, even at the time of death, or it would have been a disgrace. It is obvious that in times long past, people were constantly watchful over their behavior. Even when alone, when their appearance would be as neat and orderly as if they had company. Nowadays, people would say, "Why bother?" But this is how people used to behave. They were watchful over their behavior, even when alone. In their minds, even if they were to hide themselves away, celestial beings and earthly spirits would still see them. It would have been impolite to them if people were careless and behaved as they wished. Even a concealed spot is still visible to beings and spirits. Thus, our demeanor should always be respectful. We should never indulge ourselves, even the slightest bit. Even in our room, it should seem as if innumerable pairs of eyes were watching us, innumerable hands were pointing at us. We should be watchful and cautious, as if our deeds, as if we were in public. We should not behave as if we were alone. We should not behave as we please. Although we are extremely secretive in trying to conceal our behavior or to cover up our faults with glib talk, this cannot be accomplished. It is as if our internal organs were seen by everyone. This is how clearly the beings and spirits can see us. We may think that we have secrets, but we are only deceiving others and ourselves. In actuality, spirits of heaven and earth have always seen through all of this. And once seen through, our attempts to hide are worthless. Once we have realized this, how can we not fear? From the text. But there is more to it. As long as a person still has one breath left, then he or she has the chance to regret even the most serious wrongdoings and offenses. End quote. When we are ashamed, we will have a respectful and fearful heart. And this will enable us to reform. And in this way, we will eradicate our offenses. As for repenting and eradicating karmic obstacles, some Buddhist practitioners attend repentance ceremonies daily, doing so for their entire lifetime. Not only do they fail to eradicate their karmic obstacles, the more ceremonies they attend, the more these obstacles can increase. Why? They do not know how to repent sincerely. To truly cultivate is to be able to feel ashamed, to have respect, to know fear. It is essential for us to deeply understand this and to change our improper thinking. Those who have committed the greatest transgressions, such as the 5 deadly offenses or the 10 bad conducts, are bound for the hell realms. However, as long as they have one remaining breath, are they able to be helped? Yes. If they are willing to regret and correct their erroneous ways, if so, then they are still able to change their incorrect ways. If they are truly ashamed, sincerely give rise to a respectful and apprehensive heart, deeply regret their ways, vow to be born into the Pure Land, and chant Amitabha 1 to 10 times, then they are assured of being born there. For example, during the Tang Dynasty, over 1,000 years ago, Mr. Shan He Zhang, who was a butcher, chanted Amitabha just 10 times at the last moments of his death, just before he was to die and was born into the Pure Land. The Visualization Sutra tells us that in ancient India, King Ajatasattu killed his father, egregiously mistreated his mother, and caused dissension in the Sangha. There was no evil he would not commit. In the King Ajatasattu Sutra, Buddha Shakyamuni told us of his cause and effect. At the last moment of his life, with one breath left, the king truly regretted and attained single mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha as he sought birth into the Pure Land. He was born into the 8th of the 9 levels. Truly inconceivable. From this we know there are 2 ways of being born into the Pure Land. One is to cultivate and accumulate merit and virtue daily, to follow the regular way of practice to seek birth into the Pure Land. The other way is for those who have committed great evil and who feel deep remorse at the last moments of their life. Therefore, we do not want to look down on those who have committed wrongdoings. Perhaps at the very last moment of their life, they will be able to feel deep remorse so strongly that they will achieve a higher level of birth than we will. It is very possible. It is said that a prodigal who returns is more precious than gold. A reformed person is even better than the average practitioner. Average people are incomparable to them. Thus, we do not want to look down on those who have committed wrongdoings. Once we understand this, we will no longer be willing to count on our luck, thinking we can commit transgressions, and that as long as we regret before our last breath, we will still be born into the Pure Land. It would be wrong and dangerous for us to think in this manner, for this will guarantee our falling into the three bad realms. It is extremely difficult to be able to regret at the last moment of life and to be born into the Pure Land. On appearance, it would seem that there is only one lifetime involved here. In actuality, there are infinite lifetimes involved. And what appears to only involve our last moments actually involve all the good roots and good fortunes accumulated over infinite lifetimes. We must possess deep-seated, solid, good roots. If we visit a hospital, we will better understand. Look around. How many people are still clear-headed and alert in their last moments? Being rational and alert is the first criterion. If we are confused and unaware at that time and are unable to remember to feel remorse, if we forget that we need to chant, then we will fall into the three bad realms. We need to know the true reality and not dare to think this way, not dare to count on our luck. Why? It is unimaginably difficult to achieve this way. It is rare to have one out of thousands who are clear-headed and alert at their very last moment. This is the first criteria. Without meeting this, we will be unable to achieve. We have to ask whether we can guarantee ourselves that at the last moment we will remain clear-headed and alert. The second criteria is to meet a good teacher at this moment. The third criteria is to turn back immediately at that instant, to single-mindedly regret, to be instantly mindful of Buddha Amitabha, and to seek birth into the Pure Land. Can we guarantee that all three conditions will exist at precisely the moment of our death? If not, then we need to honestly and sincerely cultivate daily to accumulate merits and virtues. This is the only truly reliable and safe way. If 10,000 people practice the Pure Land Method, then 10,000 people will succeed. Mr. Yu said in his commentary that, quote, by laying down the butcher knife, one can become a Buddha right then and there. If we have the heart to regret our wrongdoings, then we can begin again. End quote. Obviously, the earlier we awaken, the better. So please, make haste in turning back and do not commit any more wrongdoings. From the text, once a person who behaved badly during his entire lifetime felt remorse just when he was about to die. He realized his past mistakes and regretted all the bad things that he had done. His mind came to a very kind thought, and immediately afterwards, he peacefully passed away. End quote. There are many examples of this, some of Buddhist practitioners, some not. In recent years, one that fellow practitioners personally witnessed was in Washington, D.C., in the United States. It was the story of Mr. Guang Da Zhou, who lived in Washington. He had been a good person who had not committed any offenses. He proved that one may encounter Buddhism in the last moments of life, chant Amitabha 1 to 10 times, and be born into the Pure Land. He did not encounter Buddhism until a kind-hearted friend introduced him to the Pure Land teachings 3 days before he died. He was joyful upon hearing of them and accepted without the slightest doubt. He made the vow to be born into the Pure Land and single-mindedly was mindful of Buddha Amitabha. This was the result of his good roots from infinite past lifetimes. Once he had vowed to be born into the Pure Land, although he was ill, he no longer felt any pain. This is the reward or retribution for good or bad things done. Once the true mind is generated, it is supported by Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Although he was critically ill, he was spiritually uplifted. This was due to the strength from his vows and the joy of practicing Buddhism. It is similar to experiencing something very good, which puts us into high spirits. His energy and strength came from within him and from Buddha Amitabha. Thus, Mr. Zhou was able to chant Amitabha. After chanting for 3 days, he was able to see Buddha Amitabha and the sages come from and escort him to the Pure Land. This happened recently with reliable witnesses. How can we not believe? We need to know that what is important in our practice is the essence, not the formality. Mr. Zhou never listened to Buddhist lectures, nor had he previously read any sutras. He had not taken the three refuges or the five fundamental precepts. He had a kind friend who taught him to chant Amitabha. Buddha Amitabha and the sages came to escort him to the Pure Land. Thus, cultivation stresses essence, stresses the pure mind. The commentary stated that it is never too early to begin practicing. It is never too late to regret. To pass away peacefully is a phenomenon of transcendence. It is still not too late to regret at the moment of death. Every time a person dies well, he or she is assured of going to a good place. Die well, born well. The very last of the five Chinese good fortunes is to pass away peacefully without suffering, assuring our being born into one of the three good realms of not falling into the three bad realms. In summary, Mr. Liao Fan